Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A child of God's future is too wonderful for words to describe. Having been adopted as God's sons and daughters, our destiny includes being with Jesus when he returns to set up his kingdom. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, gifts God gives to all who believe in Jesus. Now, a look into the future as we share the gift of sonship.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus Christ comes for his church, the Bible says that the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and Jesus is going to come, and who does he bring with us? It says, with him are all of the saints who have died, those who have slept in Jesus. So to be very direct and practical, let's suppose now that Jesus were to rapture us today. In coming in the air to receive us would be my parents, would be your parents if they were believers, friends and relatives, and all those who have gone on. And their spirits, and their spirit, by the way, would be able to have all of the many attributes of the body. That's why they can communicate in heaven today. Would then connect with their bodies, because their bodies are going to be then raised, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and those who are alive are going to be instantly transformed. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus doesn't go anywhere unless he brings his people along with him. And then you have the 19th chapter of Revelation, which seems to clearly indicate a different event at the glorious returning, because many of us believe that the return of Christ comes in two stages. You can read those passages, and they are radically different. Jesus is coming from heaven on a white horse to execute judgment and to set up his kingdom. And who in the world does he bring with him? It says he comes with his holy ones, those whom he has made holy. That's you and that's me, by the way. Come unto the Mount of Olives. And you have never been to Jerusalem because you can't afford it and it doesn't fit your schedule. Don't be too worried about it. You're going to get the tour of your life when you descend on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. But then you say, yeah, but what about ruling with Jesus? What about that? Oh, listen. He who overcomes, to him I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. You say, Pastor Lutzer, you're making that up. No, I'm not. You just ought to read your Bible a little better. I see it there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne, sitting on the throne of God. You are. Turn to the believer next to you, sitting next to you, and saying, someday you're going to sit on the throne of Jesus. Do that right now. Watch who you say it to. And it's incredible. You say, well, how big is the throne? Well, I don't know how big it is. But apparently it has room for all the saints. Jesus says, you are a joint heir with me, so you get to rule with me forever and ever. And you participate in my suffering when you receive me as Savior. It doesn't say that we have to suffer for him. We suffer with him in his suffering, in receiving Christ and in living for him. But the fact is that whatever Jesus inherits, you get. Do you understand now? I mean, no wonder we're going to be trophies of God's grace forever. I mean, he's going to put it up there and say, look at that sinner. The guy who was in the depths of sin, and I elevated him, he was in the mud. And now I've put him up here with me on the marble, ruling with Christ. We're going to say wow throughout all of eternity, and more formal things also, I'm sure. Now, we need to nail this down. We need to understand its relationship to life here on earth while we're waiting for the final inheritance. First of all, let me say that some Christians are sons and daughters, but they live like slaves. Some Christians are sons and daughters, but they live like slaves. What's the difference? Let me analyze this very quickly. The difference is this, that a son belongs to the family, a slave doesn't. Not only that, but the son has the nature of the father. The slave doesn't. It says that when we trust Christ, we are partakers of the divine nature. There's the nature of God. There is family resemblance, sons and fathers. Not only that, the slave serves because of fear. You know, I'm going to get in trouble with my master. We serve because of love. Dr. Wiersbe, who preceded me in this pulpit many, many years ago, said that two boys maybe, and this is the way I remember it, they want to do some mischief in the neighborhood. One boy says, no, if I don't, I'm going to be hurt by my father. The Christian boy says, no, I won't, because I don't want to hurt my father, whom I love. You see, we are sons and daughters, and that's the way we serve him. But there are some Christians who are in the far country, like the prodigal. The prodigal who was in the far country and eating there with pigs, and then he comes back to his father when he gains his senses. And I am always amazed at all that God has to do to bring prodigals back. I mean, he has to drag them through all kinds of grief, some of them. But he comes back, and what does he say? He says, I am unworthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servant. And the father says, oh yeah? You think you're going to be a hired servant? You're not a son in order to be a hired servant. No way. Bring hither the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill him. For this my son was dead and is alive and is lost and is found. When you come back to God after your wandering and after your time in the pigsty, he welcomes you as a son and a daughter of the Most High. Jesus didn't die so that we become hired hands. So come back. You're living in the world, you're living in sin, you're neglecting everything, and you're a believer. Come to the Father, and he'll come to you and honor you as a son or daughter. Next, it's very important for us to realize that one of the marks of sonship is discipline. One of the marks of sonship is discipline. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, what son is there whom the father doesn't discipline? He says, if you aren't disciplined, you might not be a son. If you can live in sin freely and manage your conscience in such a way that you're at peace, you're probably not redeemed. Sons of God can't do that. They can do terrible things. They can insult their father in heaven. They can give him a bad name. They can live in the world and for the pleasures of the world without restraint. But when they do, they are so miserable because they're being disciplined by God. People need to understand that discipline is part of the Christian life, and discipline is part of your life and mine too. God shows us a lot of things, and sometimes we suffer and we have no cause-effect relationship. It may not be because of specific sins, but God is purifying us. He's saying, I want that son to look like Jesus. And Jesus suffered, he is going to suffer too, or she. Finally, what we must understand is the blessings, of course, are limited to those who trust Christ. Now, let me be clear, the way you become adopted, you're not adopted directly as such, though the minute you receive Christ as Savior, you are. But to put it clearly, we enter this blessing through what is called in the Bible regeneration. It's called in other places the new birth. What happens is this: two parents get together and they regenerate you. Without the two parents, you can't be regenerated. Not one parent, not single parent. Two parents bring about regeneration. The Word of God combines with the Spirit of God to create within you the life of God. That's the way conversion happens. The Word of God combining with the Spirit of God, creating in you the life of God. If you don't know Christ as Savior, but you say, I sure would like to receive him, listen to that voice and respond to it and receive him as your Savior. And if you have no assurance that you belong to God, probably you are not converted at all. And you say, well, I'm not sure. Well, then nail it down. Make it sure. Don't live the rest of your life on the precipice of doubt. Receive Christ. Claim his promises. And I believe that the Spirit of God births within us the knowledge that you are the Son of God, the daughter of God. And when you pray, the first words out of your mouth will be, Father. And the second word out of your mouth, birthed in our hearts by God, is, I love you. I only wished I loved you more. Father, who are we to try to convey this truth so that it is believed and acted on? We thank you, Father, for your indescribable grace. We thank you that Jesus died, not that we might be hired hands, but that we might be sons and daughters of the Most High. Help us to worship better, to contribute better, to sacrifice better by your example and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and as you notice, I do whatever I can to encourage people to believe on Jesus. And if this ministry has blessed you, would you contact us? You go to moodymedia.org. It's very simple, actually. moodymedia.org. And click on the contact button and let us know that you've been listening to Running to Win. If you've received Christ as Savior, let us know that. If you are blessed, we'd love to hear from you. Because at the end of the day, Running to Win exists for you. It does not exist for us. And by the way, thank you to the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. It's because of you that we can share the good news of the gospel with so many. You've been listening to part of a series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings that Belong to All Those Who Trust in Christ. I want us to be able to expand our understanding of what it means to receive Christ. In Him, the Bible says, God gives us all things.
Not all the blessings God has in store for believers have to await eternity. In the here and now, He's provided the church, where we can serve other believers for mutual encouragement and help. Next time, why the church is so vital for every Christian. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.